C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, October 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We're continuing our week-long series on the current job market and how to get ahead in it. Today, ageism in the workplace, how older workers can combat age discrimination during a job search.
You want to emphasize that you're bringing something to the employer that a younger person isn't.
That's Richard Johnson, senior fellow at the Urban Institute. He spoke with our reporter Ray Smith at this month's WSJ Job Summit about the challenges facing older workers. We'll hear from both of them after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Yesterday on the show, we spotlighted some of the challenges facing new college graduates looking to enter the workforce. Today, we're skipping further down the career path to tackle ageism and the hurdles it poses to workers with decades of experience as they look to change jobs or maybe re-enter the workforce. At our recent WSJ Job Summit, reporter Ray Smith spoke with the Urban Institute's Richard Johnson about that topic. Ray, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ray, when we talk about older and more experienced people in the workplace, what kinds of numbers are we talking about, and how big is this group?
So today, about 33% of the workforce is age 50 or older, and that's a big increase over 20 years ago. Also, about a quarter of the workforce is age 55 and older, and they've actually been increasing. That's been an increasing share of the workforce, and they're not only increasing, but they're staying in the workforce much longer than in the past.
Yeah, this is an important topic. Let's get into it. You know, Ray, pretty much any job candidate will want to convey to a potential employer that they'll fit in with the company's office culture. And at the WSJ's Job Summit, the Urban Institute's Richard Johnson told you that older or more experienced workers may have to overcome certain preconceived notions that employers might have about them, you know, to get that point across. He had a lot of advice about this, so let's listen to what he said.
You want to emphasize that your age is something, that you're bringing something to the employer that a younger person isn't. And so then you think about, well, what is it that you're bringing? And it's gonna vary by person, it's gonna vary by occupation, by industry. But for example, you might bring a wealth of contacts that you've been in this field a long time, if you're staying in the same field. And so you know a lot of people and you've seen how things are done. If your job is in management, that you've had management challenges, you face these challenges, you've overcome them, you have succeeded, you've triumphed, and to sort of like have those anecdotes, because that's something that a younger worker doesn't have, right? That younger worker, maybe that younger worker knows a lot about, you know, the latest technical aspects of the job, but they don't have those softer skills, for example. Maybe they don't have the management skills, or not the experience. And, you know, the one thing that I see in my job, just as someone who's been in this field for 30 years, I'm an economist, I do research, I have younger colleagues who know the latest statistical techniques and that maybe I don't know. And so I collaborate with them. And so there's that kind of intergenerational advantage, because what I bring is that I know the literature perhaps better than they do, because I've worked in it so long. I know the policies better than these younger people do. I've had a lot of experience writing. I know how to structure a research question. There are those kinds of things that, even though I don't have the technical skills that a younger person would have, there's a lot that I can bring, and that's bring to the workplace. And that's true in every field. So I think everyone who's been working for decades really has a lot to offer, maybe more than they realize they have to offer. And that's why it's important that you stay positive and you don't get frustrated and you don't give up. Because if you really want to work and if you just stick to it, there's probably a job out there for you.
So, you know, Ray, for older workers, it sounds like they need to be prepared to talk about a lot more than just their experience.
Exactly. And some of the things that they should sort of emphasize is, one, that they're up to date with their field, whatever field they're in. They just want to make sure that they know, you know, the latest jargon, or they're up with the latest sort of buzzwords in the industry. So it's just important to sort of keep that fresh energy going as you're talking about what you can bring to the table. Another thing that might be good is to just mention networks that you have, whether it's contacts or professional networks. It also helps just to mention in your cover letter or your interview that you know somebody who works at that company, or someone on the board. So those things can also help, just besides talking about your experience. And you can also just talk about, in terms of what you can do, just making sure that you're talking about the future, like what you can do and what you bring to the table.
Now, Ray, you and Richard also discussed how older job seekers can convey their value as a worker on their resume without drawing a spotlight to their age. But it's a tricky process. Here's Richard again.
That's an important issue for someone who's older, because you don't want to emphasize your age. You can't hide your age. You can't pretend that you're 20 when you're 55 or 60. But you know, most people recommend going back, maybe at most 15 years. And what you want to do is not emphasize the years of experience that you have. Not that you've been doing this, you've been working for 30 years and how great you are, but emphasize what you've actually done. And so really, and be very concrete. So in that resume and in that cover letter, say what you've done, tailor it as much as you can to the requirements of the job that you're applying for. So, if they're saying looking for someone with these characteristics, say, or this type of experience, say, I've done this. And this is specifically what I've done. I've grown sales by X percent. I've managed so many people. Be very, very explicit to the extent that you can.
Okay, so older job seekers can't hide their age, and they certainly don't want to be dishonest about it. But how could they better communicate their value, say, in a cover letter?
One of the ways is to make it really personal and specific. And for instance, you can talk about sort of how you're looking for something more meaningful. You're looking for a job where you can be meaningful, that would be meaningful to you. And you want to be specific as you can about it, and pointing out the ways that it would be meaningful to you, meaningful, fulfilling, meaningful in terms of just what it sort of signifies or how it's going to help something or another. Employers might be more receptive if you're sort of talking about what you want to do, why you want to be there, and how it will allow you to sort of really make some difference or make a contribution. That's going to stand out, because it's going to look more than just, I need this job. It's going to really reframe the dialogue to talk about where you are in your life and how you're really looking to invest in a company that shares your values or has these values, or that you're going to find some significant meaning in. So that can make someone's cover letter stand out from the others. And also keep in mind, your past experience doesn't have to necessarily work against you. You can emphasize that, yes, I've had this fast-paced job. It was a high-power job. And now, I'm looking to give back. And that also shows that you're looking to do something with meaning. And it also shows where you've been, but where you want to go.
Now, another area where older workers often face challenges is salary. And that's where Richard Johnson said it's important for older workers to manage their expectations.
You can't go into the job interview expecting that you're going to make as much as you did before. I mean, what we find is, and it really depends on the circumstances under which you're looking for a job. So if you have a job, then sure, you're only going to move to a new job if it's better in some way. One way in which it's better is if you get a higher salary. Another, but might also be better if you get a lower salary, but you have more flexibility, fewer hours, less responsibility. There's other ways in which a job could be preferable. But if you're just looking at money, sure, you're only going to move if you get more. But if you've lost your job, I think you just have to accept the fact that that job is gone and not think that you're going to get that big salary that you used to. The reason you had that big salary in the past was because you had very specific skills tied to that employment situation. And a lot of skills are transferable. And so you can still, maybe get a good salary, but you're probably not going to be worth as much to a new employer as you were to the old employer in a lot of cases.
So, Ray, it sounds like older workers really have to be mindful of the timeline of their career.
Yes, that's right. As some people start entering their 50s, they'll basically start to see their earnings peak. And frankly, that's something that people are going to have to be realistic about and get used to. And the sooner they accept that, it's probably the faster they'll find a job. So keep in mind, if you're going to hold out for that job that pays more than your former job, your previous job, you're probably going to be disappointed. You're going to be unemployed and looking for quite a long time.
And finally, Richard Johnson emphasized that having the right frame of mind in the job search can be a key to landing a job.
The most important thing is not to get discouraged. So, you know, we're laying out all these scary statistics, and yet, you know, the fact is that a lot of people, a lot of older people do find work. And so when you're navigating this process, it's important to stay positive. Don't feel like you're entitled to a job. You know, you might have been an important person, old employer, that job is gone. And you just have to, I think, first accept that fact that things are going to be different going forward, that you're probably not going to have the same salary, maybe the same kind of perks, the same responsibility that you enjoyed in the past. But the good news is that you might have more flexibility. And so there's sort of a trade-off. You're making less money, but you might have some more free time. Maybe you can schedule your work time a little better. When you're going through that job search, which is daunting, and it's particularly daunting for older workers because many of them haven't searched for a job in decades, and the job search process has changed a lot in the past 20, 25 years.
So, Ray, it definitely can be a challenge for an older worker to go through the job search process, but what kinds of tools are available that can be of assistance?
Older workers should not be afraid to seek out help, and fortunately, there are places they can go for that help. They can go to the American Job Centers, which are funded by the U.S. Department of Labor. They're in every community, and they run local workforce boards. So that's an opportunity. That's a source that older workers can tap. Additionally, there are nonprofits that can help. There are support groups. In a lot of big cities, for example, they have support groups because there are so many older people who are looking for work and frustrated. Those groups have sprung up to help workers to think about types of jobs to pursue and how they want to present themselves as well.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Ray Smith. Ray, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And tomorrow on Your Money Briefing, we'll wrap up our week on the jobs market with a look at the crowded world of secondary and post-secondary degrees, certificates, badges, and other certifications.
One of the reasons that the certification market is growing so quickly is because employers are starting to really value the certifications as, you know, prerequisites for certain skilled jobs.
So how can you decide if a special credential is worth investing your time and money? That's tomorrow on Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.